I admit, this is a weird time to be writing a book about good arguments. These days, few of us are shipping off to fight a war against our political opponents. But the suspicion, contempt, and hatred that disagreements stir in us seem as vast as they have ever been. In the resulting arguments, we assume bad intentions and talk past one another. Precisely at a time when the will to debate seems ascendant, the values and skills required to sustain such conversations have sunk to a nadir. This is what we mean by the term polarization. Not that we disagree, or even that we disagree too much or too often, but that we disagree badly. Our arguments are painful and useless. Amid all the shouting, some people have abandoned hope for disagreements. In 2012, the Republican candidate for the US presidency, Mitt Romney, told a private gathering that some 47% of people would always side with the Democrats and that these people were chronic dependents who paid no income tax. 4 years later, the Democratic candidate, Hillary Clinton, described half of her opponent's supporters as deplorables. Both politicians apologized, but the notion that some people are beyond the pale of persuasion and rational argument is a taboo that is nonetheless built into the prevailing logic of electoral politics. However, the worst consequences of such loss of faith may land closer to home, in the silences that emerge between lovers, friends, and family. University of California researchers found that weeks after the US presidential election in 2016, Thanksgiving dinners attended by people from precincts with opposing politics were curtailed by 30 to 50 minutes. Nationwide, 34 million hours of cross-partisan Thanksgiving dinner discourse were lost. The tragedy is that there has never been a better time to debate. Ours is a period of unprecedented personal freedom, political suffrage, and global connection. The public square is more diverse and the public conversation more contested than ever before. Acknowledging the ways in which our disagreements are deficient need not detract from these important achievements. Nor does it mean we should romanticize the past. Never have we embraced such pluralism and better managed our disagreements. So we need to forge a new path. In such unsettled times, we may be tempted to pine for consensus, to dwell on our commonalities at the exclusion of our differences. As a naturally shy person, I feel the pull of this instinct most days. But I also know firsthand the bitter fruits of this aspiration. For several years of my childhood in Sydney, I purged arguments from my days and structured them instead around the pursuit of agreement. The experience left me with the conviction that there is a paucity about an agreeable life. Sustaining one requires too many compromises and self-betrayals. It saps one's relationships of their most worthwhile qualities, among them candor, challenge, and vulnerability. My travels around the world have convinced me that a political life without disagreement is also impoverished. Nations are, at their best, evolving arguments. No other view of community affords so much respect to human diversity and the open-endedness of our future. Meanwhile, its opposite, a singular insistence on unity, has tended in history toward despotism and crude majoritarianism. In a liberal democracy, good arguments are not what societies should do, but also what they should be.